Welcome to Movie Chronicles with the Pal Bros. Now, I know there seems to be an endless spiral of bad stories coming from Hollywood, and we may see Hollywood as the dumpster fire that it is, but it is true, we still love movies. That being said, we desire the destruction and death of Hollywood, and the end of the reign of the evil and corrupt men and women telling these awful stories. We desire a rebirth of the film industry, through the telling of good stories that lead to Christ being glorified and one day reigning over the film industry. If you wish to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thepowellbros or follow the link in the show notes. There you'll gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews by The Powell Bros. And now, on with the show. All right, welcome to Movie Chronicles with the Pal Bros. I am Tobiah, one of your hosts, joined with your other host, my brother Trent. Trent, how you doing?
Doing all right. Definitely. All right. I love doing this show a little more laid back than our other one, and less obviously we have to do to prepare for it, but
for sure
we're prepared nonetheless, of course. And
yeah,
we're excited about this one.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of things to talk about and go through. And yeah, did you want to start with something? Or
yeah, we can of course start with the continual downfall of Disney and talk about their decision to go with a female Silver Surfer.
Yeah. Whoa.
So Silver Surfer, yeah. Is there are a lot of people that I know that love the Silver Surfer, one of their favorite Fantastic Four characters. They obviously did a movie, Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer, didn't do super well, wasn't that great, and had its issues. And so everyone was, of course, excited about them, the MCU possibly doing a Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four or another project later on, because he plays a pretty prominent role in the in the comics. He was actually the one that announced to Earth that Thanos was coming when he was gonna, you know, take over the world. You know, of course, in the comics, you know, they didn't have the rights to him, and when they made Infinity War. But anyways, in the Infinity Saga storyline, that's what happened. Instead of who was it? Was it the Hulk? Oh yeah, the Hulk came and told everyone. Yeah, so it was Silver Surfer. Anyways, he's a, you know, well-known character, well-loved, and they, of course, have decided to go with... Now, this isn't a female version, necessarily, of Silver Surfer. It is another character.
Yeah, there are versions of the Silver Surfer.
Right, that are female.
Characters that held the mantle of Silver right. Surfer that are female.
Yes. However...
I understand that.
She has very limited runs... and was never popular and was not very prominent in the comics. However, you have a lot of people, you know, taking to Twitter and saying, well, actually, I looked up the Wikipedia page and it said... No, I'm just kidding, they didn't say it. But they did probably do that because they don't care about the comics. They go on, you know, they go on Twitter and say, well, actually, there is a female Silver Surfer and she's a character that is used and written and is in the comics, so stop complaining about there being a female Silver Surfer. It's like, okay, doesn't change the fact that we don't want a female Silver Surfer. No one was asking for a female. No one was asking for a female Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
This is one character where it's just completely pointless to gender swap. It's like you have a good male character that's very interesting, that would play a good role, pretty big role in the MCU, that could be used well. Why would you mess this up? And Marvel does not understand. They don't get it. They have a female version of every single character. And like we've said, we're not saying that we hate females or we hate female heroes. We just think that they're done poorly often. And when they're basically a female that's trying to act like a man, trying to be a female Thor, trying to be a female Hulk, a female Iron Man, a female Hawkeye, they're trying to be a female male. They're trying to act like men, and that's not good, and we don't want that. We're not asking for that. And obviously, as the box office has shown, as the reviews have shown, people don't want these characters because they're just knockoff versions of the true character. And no one's interested. They're uninteresting characters who have no character, and that are just female protagonists that have superpowers and are really overpowered and better than the men. That's it. That's their character. And they're mm-hmm. now like, we're going to do a female Silver Surfer. We're going to take a very powerful male superhero. We're going to make her female because DEI, because of diversity, because of inclusion, because that's all they care about. You know, they don't care about stories. They don't care about the characters that they're writing, that they are presenting, that they're putting into the public eye. It's just, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, but there's this actor, I can't remember who it was, but he thought he was going to get the role of Silver Surfer.
Really?
And once it was announced, he was saying that he was very surprised. Like, he thought it was his role.
Oh, my.
Which is interesting, because why would he even be thinking that if, like, were they casting anybody? Like, were they just, you know, casting men, women, children?
Who knows?
Like, who knows? Were they always planning on a female? It's weird. Like, I think they just don't even know what they're doing.
They don't.
I think Disney just doesn't have a clue and just for some reason chose a female. Like, they
So there were rumors that they were reworking the Fantastic Four script because things were leaked and there was a lot of complaints. And it was leaked about 4 months ago that the Silver Surfer was going to be female, and a lot of people were like, okay, that's a leak. We don't know if that's true. It's a rumor. It probably isn't going to be true. It was also leaked that Pedro Pascal was going to be Reed Richards. Same thing. A lot of people were like, well, no, I was even like, no, it's probably not going to happen. It happened. You know, it was also leaked. It was also leaked that there was going to, Sue Storm was going to be the leader of the Fantastic Four. And at that time, we're like, probably not. That's probably not going to happen.
That's the only thing of the three things.
They're probably going to rewrite it. No, it's going to happen. Now we know that all those rumors, you know, if there ever was any kind of rewrite or change, anything they changed, it probably wasn't very significant. And they're still going with their original plan.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four is going to come out. It's going to be led by Sue Storm. It's going to have a female Silver Surfer. Pedro Pascal, Reed Richards is going to be a pansy. And that's that. That's what they're gonna do, and no one's gonna like it. It's gonna be the third attempt at a Fantastic Four franchise, and it's going to fall flat. And then they're gonna throw their hands up and be like, "What in the world did we do?" And then they're not gonna learn their lesson, and they're gonna keep doing what they're doing, keep pushing their agendas. And it's funny is Bob Iger on they had a I think it was an earnings call or a board meeting. Where they actually, I know we had talked about Nelson Peltz in the past about how he was trying to get a seat on the Disney board. So the board has to actually vote. All the shareholders have to vote in order to bring someone else on. And they had a vote and everyone sided with Bob Iger. Not everyone. It was like 70%, 60 or 70% that sided with Bob Iger. And so Nelson Peltz will not get a seat on the board, sadly. Because he was going to start pushing, hopefully, for and challenging Bob Iger and Disney to start, you know, making better decisions for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Iger literally in the conference call said, you know, we are not about agendas. We're about stories. We're about characters. We're about creating the. Continuing the stories of the brands that we've created or something like that. Basically saying we're not about agendas. And then literally minutes later, hours later, they release, oh yeah, so there's going to be a female Silver Surfer. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What was there was another announcement or a leak. We'll probably get to it. You might have it written down. I can't remember what it was, but there was a couple other.
The only other thing on Disney was Indiana Jones. Their numbers finally came in. Indiana Jones style Destiny. They lost $130 million on that project.
That's insane. $130 million. Yeah. That's like
the budget of two movies. That's a direct loss of what they lost from that movie is $130 million. Yeah, it's that's insane. Hilarious.
I didn't know that. That's $130 million on an Indiana Jones movie starring Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
How do you mess that up? Well, we know how.
All right. I want to switch to some things.
Go for it.
I'm kind of,
we have a lot of things to talk about.
Excited about. Yeah. Have you seen the trailer for Bambi: The Reckoning?
Nope. I was gonna do a trailer react on our TikTok.
All right. Yeah. For sure.
Probably either tonight or tomorrow. So I have not watched it yet. But it's legit,
an expansion of the. It's an expansion of the Pooniverse.
It is like same guys. Oh, okay. Got it.
I think so. That's what it said on comicbook.com.
I know they're like they officially announced that they're creating a universe. They're doing like Pinocchio and Peter Pan. Peter Pan would be actually interesting.
Bambi: The Reckoning, and
oh boy,
I think it was a pretty short trailer, but it's funny. Like it's just like
it's great,
ridiculous,
right? Bambi taking revenge on that hunter that killed his mom.
Yeah, Bambi's looks wild.
Wait, is Bambi a boy or a girl? I always forget this. Bambi's a boy, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Is Bambi seems like a girl name. Stuff. Bambi. I was confused, but anyways.
Okay, I shouldn't say I'm excited for this, but I'm excited for one of the characters in this. Have you seen the photos that came out for The Bride, the new Frankenstein movie.
Oh, wait. New Frankenstein movie.
So no. Christian Bale is going to be Frankenstein in
The Bride. Okay, is this like horror, comedy, drama?
I think it's like horror, drama,
okay,
from what I can tell. There hasn't been a ton about it that came out. Like I said, it's just been some photos of what the characters look like.
And it's called The Bride, so obviously focusing on Frankenstein's Bride.
Right. And it's Maggie Gyllenhaal is the director and maybe writer. I don't know.
Okay. Interesting.
So so there's a lot of female attention in this movie, so I don't know how they're gonna handle it. But anyway, Christian Bale just looks amazing as Frankenstein. You should look it up right now. Yeah, like it's just one photo that they've released, but it's pretty sick. It's like I think they called it a punk version of Frankenstein.
What? Okay, I mean that's interesting. That's a take. He's got tattoos.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm here for it.
Comes out October next year.
Okay.
October 2025.
Sure.
Meet
the Bride and Frank.
Might be interesting. I don't know. Could
definitely be interesting. Christian Bale. I wonder how method he went for this one.
Oh, yeah. Bale, I'm sure. He put staples in his head. Christian Bale, probably.
Who knows?
Yeah. But yeah, I just love the look of Christian Bale in that. I think he'll do phenomenal as Frankenstein.
Yeah,
I just hope it's a good movie.
Yeah, I could totally see him playing Frankenstein. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's interesting that Maggie Gyllenhaal's directing it. I don't know.
Yeah, has she ever directed
anything before? I don't know.
Maggie Gyllenhaal, she's in The Dark Knight, right?
Yeah, she's
Inception. Like she's like Christopher Nolan films, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of feel like she. I shouldn't say. I have no idea. So I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, hopefully it leans in a good way, and maybe it'll be a decent film. Karate Kid 6 is coming out.
Yep, I heard about that. That's coming out this year, isn't it?
They just started filming.
Oh, never mind.
couple days ago. So
because Jackie Chan's in it, so I'm really curious about that.
Jackie Chan.
So I'm assuming it's the character from the Jaden Smith one.
Well, so the Jaden Smith one, it's not I think it's supposed to take place in the same universe as the other one.
Sure, yeah, I would assume so.
Because it's a different character. Like, they don't call him whatever they called the other kid in the originals. Yeah. I like the Jaden Smith one more than the originals. I know everybody thinks I'm probably the dumbest person for that, but...
That is pretty dumb. What do you mean? What's wrong with the original Karate Kid? That movie's amazing.
They're just old movies, you know?
What?
Just something about old movies.
Okay. I guess, I'm in that weird generational stage where it's like I'm like too old to not like, or I'm too old to not like old movies, and I'm too young to like old movies. But I do like old movies. Better than a lot of new ones, but I'm in that weird place where I understand why you wouldn't like older movies, but I do appreciate it, but I don't appreciate it as much as someone that was maybe 3 years older than me. So I'm like,
it's just because I grew up with weird such age. A great quality of movies. It's hard for me to watch bad quality movies.
Right. And I think that's because I'm right in the middle of generation millennial and X or whatever.
Well, a good example of this is the Willy Wonka movies, Charlie and Chocolate Factory and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Sure, yeah.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is a great movie, but it's just so low quality. He did the Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
That's what I meant. So that was Tim Burton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, because his wife's in it and Johnny Depp. Okay. Interesting. Because that was another
all that stuff that they did with that the remake was so great, and I get what they did with the old one was great because of the time,
but like I said, I'm in that weird place where it's I 100% understand that. I think I like the original better, but it's because it's the original, but I do like the new. I like the Johnny Depp one. And man, that's what's so weird about these legacy sequels and stuff that they're doing, like Ghostbusters. It's like, okay, it's cool seeing, I watched Ghostbusters Aftermath. I'm gonna go see Frozen Empire soon, because I haven't seen it yet. It's like, I get what they're doing. They're trying to create a movie for the new generation of Ghostbuster fans, but the first one is obviously better, and they tried to recapture with the Aftermath or Afterlife. They tried to recapture that, the magic, I guess you'd say, of the original movie with the four guys. Failed.
I loved the original Ghostbusters way more than any of the remakes. I loved the first Ghostbusters movie. It's incredible. Uh-huh. See, that's an old movie that I enjoy.
Right.
And there's some that are out there, but I think when it comes to remakes, I tend to actual remakes, I tend to the newer ones. That are made nothing that's made now. Yeah, it says sequels. Nothing that's made now, but things that are made when I was growing up. Those remakes of older movies, I like those way more. Especially westerns. A lot of westerns.
Like 3:10 to Yuma, True Grit.
True Grit, definitely.
Magnificent Seven, Yuma. I think was that.
Yep. Yeah. Magnificent Seven. That's one. Yeah, all those Western movies.
3:10 Yuma is great,
though. I love the new ones way more. Yeah.
But it's we also grew up watching that movie. we owned it, and we didn't mm-hmm. own the original. And it's I can understand why we would say, yeah, that one's better. We didn't own the original Karate Kid, so I understand why you say you enjoy that one, the Jaden Smith one, better. I don't know. I haven't seen the Jaden Smith one since I was probably 12 or whatever it came out. I don't know. So I can't say whether or not it was bad, I guess.
But anyway, it'll be interesting to see if it's actually connected to that one, if it officially canonizes it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, because they're bringing the Jackie Chan. The
whole Karate Kid.
Get an the whole Karate James Kid Smith.
Universe. Yeah.
Please don't. Well, like, so, and like, I wonder if it's connected to Cobra Kai. I want to watch Cobra Kai. I've heard so many good things about it. I really want to watch it. I just don't have time to start another TV show. But anyways, because I wonder if it's connect to the Cobra Kai. I would assume that it is because of how popular Cobra Kai is. So. Mm-hmm. Anyways, anyway, that's a good discussion, and that's definitely one we could have further on. Because like legacy sequels, I've been trying to really understand them. Like Indiana Jones, for example, it's like you're bringing in this old beaten up rugged actor who's playing an old beaten up rugged character, and you're trying to recapture the magic of the first original film. No matter what you do, you'll never be able to actually recreate it because you have to rely so much on the old that there's not enough going forward. And then, but then when you try to move things forward, you end up disregarding the old, and then you make everyone mad because it's like, oh, well, this isn't the Indiana Jones I remember. Oh, this isn't the Ghostbusters I remember. Because like with Ghostbusters, I think Ghostbusters Afterlife was made about 10-15 years too late. They should have done it 10-15 years ago. Brought Bill Murray, brought Dan Aykroyd, brought them back, and then had them come together for a final film, and then pass the mantle on to a new generation, but have the story focus on them while they're not too old. Because in the afterlife, they're just old geezers that we like. Okay, we know that they're the old cast, but it's like they can't do much, and they're just old, and they're just like, and I don't know. And then they do another movie, The Frozen Empire, where they're a lot more prominent in the story, and it's just I don't know. It's never. They because and this goes back to our conversation about Hollywood cannot make original stories anymore. They have to rely on old things, but when they do, it just fails because no one cares, no one wants it, and it's sorry
for sure. Yeah,
another reason why I like Chronicles, guys, is because I can just go on rants and it's fun.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think a lot of people like Dune. It's something new.
Sure.
And something that's not, I mean, sure, they made a movie a long time ago, but it was just garbage and nobody liked it and it wasn't well made.
Right.
But I think that's something they should do, is remake movies that were bad. Like movies that were a good concept and good idea, but just were bad, badly made or weren't able to be made a long time ago. And that's what they should be remaking, and not remaking things that were great. And it just doesn't make any sense to do that.
Sure.
But anyways, speaking of Dune, part 3 has gotten
greenlit.
So that's going through. It's going to happen. It sounds like it's going to be a few years.
He
wants to take it slow.
I'm sure
he wants to really spend a lot of time on it and make sure it's right. And so it could be 4 or 5 years probably before we see it.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's how long it takes.
Probably. I would imagine it would probably take him at least 3 years to do what he did with the first two. And I would assume he's gonna go even bigger with this one. And so we'll see. I'm excited about it. Take all the time you need to, like, do what you, recreate the spectacle that the second one was. And of course we have concerns about the story. Check out our After Hours show to learn more about that. But we'll see. Could be good. Probably will be good, I hope. And we shall wait.
For sure. The only other thing I saw was Mando and Grogu, which isn't very exciting, but they set a release date.
Isn't this the third time they set a release date?
No, they've never set an official release date. But it's like 2 years from now, 2026.
Okay.
So... That's everything I've got.
Did you watch the trailer for Tales of the Empire?
Yeah, I watched it.
What'd you think?
I actually watched your reaction of it. Of course, a lot of female characters, really heavily female driven.
Right. Which is everything with Star Wars. I mean, with Disney. With Star Wars and Marvel, it's just, let's focus on the females. And it's just, I'm sorry. The numbers speak for themselves. No one cares. Mm-hmm. No one likes these stories. Like, okay, do female driven stories, but tell good stories. You're not doing that because you're not getting the attention or there's not an appeal for the general audience. Ahsoka did absolutely horrible in the ratings. Uh-huh. Mandalorian season 1 and 2 did well, and that was a story about a father and a son. It was a very patriarchal show, and it did pretty well. Season 3 was garbage, and the Star Wars brand was already ruined after Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, and Obi-Wan, and Boba Fett TV shows. You mess up the male characters. You ruin the legacy male characters. Han Solo ruined, Luke Skywalker ruined, Boba Fett ruined, Obi-Wan Kenobi ruined, all of them butchered to death. And then you're like, okay, well, we got these female characters over here. Here's Ahsoka. Guess what? Here's Luke. Here's Anakin. Let's throw him in there. But it's all about Ahsoka. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't get any hype. Uh-huh. Normies, normal fans, normal viewers don't watch it. Don't care. You get Marvel, we've already said this, speaks for itself. No one's watching these shows. No one wants to go see the Marvels. It talk about Indiana Jones losing 100 plus million dollars, which is a male-led show, sort of, movie. Guess what? It was actually led by a female, Phoebe Waller-Briggs, I put your name. She took over the movie, drove the entire story, completely made a fool out of Indiana Jones. And the movie lost $130 million.
Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting. Like, I see, whenever I see these posts of, like when Silver Surfer was announced, all, like, thousands and, like, I think there's, like, 20,000 reactions, and the leading, like, emoji on Facebook is the laughing emoji.
Oh, yeah.
And it's constant. Every single time anything like that is announced, it's always, people just laugh at it.
Oh, this is something we have to talk about. So, well, this is kind of a little bit late. The Acolyte trailer. Did you see how many dislikes it got?
Yeah.
It was like 200, 300,000 to like 100,000 dislikes. So when that happens, they call it ratio. They rate, like, the video is ratioed, meaning that there's like either as much or more dislikes than likes. Or if there's thousands of comments.
Far more dislikes than there's far more dislikes than likes.
Or say there's like
hardly any likes,
right,
compared to how many were.
Or say someone posted like a trailer and there's like 200 million, or that's probably, no, sorry, like 100,000 comments. That means it's ratioed because there's 100,000 comments of people bashing the trailer. That happened with Acolyte. A lot of these trailers and projects come out and post about it. There's laugh reacts, there's dislikes on YouTube, there's comments galore about how terrible a decision. Just look at the comments on these posts on Marvel, on you go to the Screen Rant or comicbook.com or whoever's posting these things, and you just see comment after comment about how this is not a good idea, it's a terrible idea. You have some people that say okay, well, I get it, but this is not a good idea, terrible idea, and one person out of 20 will praise it, and then you see all the time. So
every single time, it's crazy.
It is
that Disney refuses
to listen,
change their minds on it. I don't even know. Yeah.
And then Bob Iger still gets up and says, "We're not about pushing agendas." Okay. Well, your company is losing millions of dollars. So. And the whole Disney brand is just so ruined now. It's sad. A great company that used to tell great stories. Yeah, it's now a rotting corpse. And
yeah,
it's just how it is.
For sure. It's crazy. All right, yeah. Did you have anything?
I don't think I have anything else related to news. All right. I did have a new segment that I wanted to try. I think we're going to try to do, new segments for this show as much as we can, just sprinkled here and there. So for this one, we're going to do hot takes. Okay, so we're going to give our hot takes on certain topics or genres or brands, I don't know, whatever you want, or franchises, I guess you'd say. So I have a list of five here, and I'm going to be more prepared next time and put like a number, like put numbers in a hat or something and pull a number out. But I'm just going to ask you to pick between one and five. Pick a random number between one and five. Could be one, could be two, three, four, five.
We'll do four.
Four? Okay. Star Wars. All right. What is your Star Wars hot take?
Okay, it's been a while since I've watched The Force Awakens, but I think it's a lot of nostalgia, but I enjoy that movie. A lot of it is because it's so similar to, I mean, it's a complete remake of the first movie of A New Hope, but I enjoy that movie. And there's a lot of aspects of it that I like that I don't think it's absolute garbage. Like, it's not like a two or a three. I think I could give it like maybe a six or a seven.
Okay. See, I'm just I've created an environment where many cans of worms are going to be opened up, and we're going to start conversations.
Cause yeah,
that is a hot take, one that I completely disagree with. I think Force Awakens is awful. Okay, no. I used to share that opinion. I used to think, okay, out of the three of the sequel trilogies, yes, Force Awakens is the best
one. I haven't watched it in like
probably
5 years.
I watched it a long time.
I don't
probably never will. But the problem that I have is, so Force Awakens, yes, it is almost a remake of The Last Jedi, of A New Hope. When The Last Jedi came out, it completely made most of The Force Awakens pointless. When The Rise of Skywalker came out, it made all of The Last Jedi pointless and kind of tied some knots together, tied some strings together for The Force Awakens. Sorry, I'm trying to... It tied up some threads. But for the most part, the whole trilogy is just such a mess that there's nothing there's nothing redeemable about it. I don't see anything redeemable about The Force Awakens. Rey is a terrible character. She has no arc. She has no character. Everything works out perfectly for her.
I think one of the things that I like about it, and this kind of goes back to what we were saying about, newer stuff compared to older stuff. Uh-huh. I love the cinematography in it.
Cinematography is awesome.
The cinematography, and I'm a sucker for good cinematography.
Sure,
I really am. And I think when I imagine it, like I said, I haven't seen it in 5 years. I'm sure Rey is
visually
just a complete
feminist.
That's
great.
Absolutely horrible. Like, but visually, like in my head, like when I'm thinking back to it, I'm thinking of like all the visual aspects of like. Just like the snow planet and how cool that was with the snow and the lightsaber fight on that and just all that, just everything about the whole movie. I'm thinking about all the visuals. So I think that's one reason. So I thought of another hot take while you were talking.
Wait.
One that I should have gone with.
Do
you want me to
finish off you go with what we're saying?
Yeah.
Like I had a blast in the theater.
Yeah.
I had a great time. I had fun watching Rise of Skywalker. It just took me about a couple days to really digest that film to realize, wow, that was complete garbage. The Last Jedi, I walked away like with a really just unsatisfied feeling where I was like, I was expecting that to be one of the best Star Wars movies ever. Wow, it was terrible. I'll admit it took me a while to really come to the conclusion that, wow, I don't like the sequel trilogy at all, and I just don't care about it. It like literally just leaves a terrible taste in my mouth. The Force Awakens, it visually it is an a stunning movie. There's a lot of nostalgia. I love that they bring Han Solo mm-hmm. back and Chewbacca. I love that they bring
Han Solo and Chewbacca back. Were great.
The lightsaber fights. Yeah, I love Kylo. I like Kylo Ren. He's a little whiny, but so is Anakin. So is Luke. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can say I like those things, but there's nothing about the movie or the story that
yeah.
it is.
I agree with you on that.
Okay, cool. I don't know, and I get your point. And it's like it's the same plot as the New Hope for the most part. It's like a New Hope has a great plot. Rey goes on sort of the hero's journey. She just doesn't struggle and doesn't have much of a arc. But anyways, moving on. Well, sorry, you have another hot take.
Yeah. you probably agree with this. I actually think this might be yours. So I don't know if you want to just say what yours is. And I'll let you know if it's my I'm thinking or not.
Okay. I don't think Attack of the Clones is as bad as people say.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I really like Jar Jar Binks.
Okay. Why do you think I was gonna say that?
I don't know. I thought you liked Jar Jar Binks.
Like, I don't have like a Jar Jar Binks action figure in my room. I don't think. Okay. Jar Jar Binks for me is tolerable.
He's supposed to be a goofy character. Like,
I get
and he
that.
Was made just, for kids. He was made for kids.
He was made for kids. And he was made to get kids laughed. He was made to step and poop and say pew wee or pew or whatever he says. and talk all ridiculous. I get it. I understand. Star Wars is for kids. I still think he was a little over the top. But he's tolerable for me more than most. I think the Phantom Menace is a really good movie. I think Attack of the Clones, though I need to see it again and I'm going to watch it soon, I think that Attack of the Clones is not as terrible as people say. I think it has some plot holes. I don't think Anakin's dialogue is as bad as people say, and I think they misunderstand the character or what George Lucas was going for. I think Hayden Christensen is a great actor and he did a really good job playing the role that he was supposed to play. Anakin is a teenager who grew up on a sand planet, who had very few friends, who is a slave, who then grew up in a very, very strict religion, where he had zero interaction with females and was told not to have affection toward females. And when he's sent off to go on this adventure with a very attractive female, he expresses himself how I think anyone would express themselves in that situation that he was put in with the background that he had. I think it makes sense. I think he had stalker eyes for Padme in some senses. I think Padme probably should have maybe not been so turned on to him. But for the most part, it's fine. I think the action in the film is incredible. I think the story is actually pretty decent. I think it does a lot for the Anakin character as he's dealing with the loss of his mom and his struggle with learning to follow orders and trust Obi-Wan. But then that's even reconciled in the end. I think in a sense that it sets up the third movie well and then sets up the Darth Vader character even better and so forth. So I think Attack of the Clones is actually a good movie. Most people would say it's terrible. This is also kind of going back. This is probably the prominent point that I was trying to make, or example of the point I was trying to make, where I'm in a weird place in my generation. I love having these discussions, especially on a podcast. did you remember watching the original trilogy before you saw Phantom Menace?
I don't think so.
I did. I do remember. So I remember having these VHS tapes.
Yeah.
I know this isn't video, people, but I have the VHS tapes that I grew up watching. These aren't the exact ones because those were trashed because we were three boys who didn't take care of things, but I found them online and bought them. Oh no, actually, never mind. I heard this from my wife's grandfather. Yeah, I think that's where it came from. Anyways, I remember being absolutely in love with this trilogy before Phantom Menace came out. I was pretty much like four years old. It's pretty young. I love Darth Vader. I love the idea of lightsabers. I just had, like, there is so much nostalgia wrapped around the original trilogy. However, it's not as much as someone that maybe is four or five years older than me who was able to understand the story better, was able to watch them in a different context, and maybe appreciate them more than I did. I just thought, ooh, blasters, spaceships, and lightsabers, and cool villain. Like, that was the only thing. But I remember consuming them and watching them all the time. I remember when Phantom Menace came out. I had I think it was my fifth or sixth birthday. I had a Phantom Menace birthday party, themed party. You know, where it's like, you know, plates and napkins are all Star Wars. My cake, my mom made a cake that was had a pod race, so it had pod racers on it, and they were, it was like a track. I had, you know, obviously got Star Wars toys for my birthday. We just had Easter. We just celebrated Easter. I remember. Do you remember that year? It was probably after the Phantom Menace came out, where we did an Easter egg hunt, and Mom and Dad hid Star Wars action figures. I have some of them that I bought, recently bought, but Star Wars Episode One action figures hidden throughout the. It was in our yard. I remember one being in a tree. Like, I have that memory because it was the coolest thing ever. Anyways, do you remember that? Okay. So it's like I have those memories. That was Easter, probably 4 or 5 years old. You were probably 2 or 3. So it's like I have that weird nostalgia. Like I remember Darth Maul. I remember Episode One. I remember watching the trailers. I don't necessarily remember the first time I watched it. I don't have that memory, I don't think. But I remember watching it a lot and loving it. Pod racing was the coolest thing.
Yeah, I do remember watching the sixth movie a lot. Speaking of the original trilogy, I do remember the sixth movie, watching that a lot, and that being like my favorite. And then I think when the sequels, I mean, when the prequel trilogy came out, like, that's when, like, I shifted to, like, loving those movies.
Yeah.
So I think I do remember not the whole original trilogy more than the prequel trilogy, but I do remember the sixth movie. And loving that one. But, I remember, like, the Clone Wars. Not the Clone Wars. The Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
I have a lot of different memories from that movie. And a bit from I remember, like, your toys of your Darth Maul lightsaber. I remember all that. And stuff like that. Yeah.
See, it's just, I think this is why I'm so connected to Star Wars. And I do love Star Wars. It's a great story, first of all. It's a great brand that I just enjoy and appreciate, and I have a lot of memories of and a lot of nostalgia towards. And, you know, and you talk about toys like that. Yeah, Darth Maul lightsaber. It was plastic lightsaber. I actually have one that I recently bought as well, because of nostalgia. And I've let my boys play with it a little bit, which is cool to see. But it's just... I have that nostalgia and that attachment to Star Wars because I loved it as a kid, and it hurts to see what Disney has done to Star Wars. That's one reason why I do not like The Force Awakens in any sense at all. I don't want it. I don't care about it. It's just garbage. This is why I have a hard time trusting really anything Disney's putting out. I think we completely brushed over it, but the Tales of the Empire, I didn't even give my opinions about it, but I have very low hopes because we went on a tangent about female-led shows and movies. Watch my TikTok. It was pretty brief, but anyways. I have a childhood attachment to this show. I remember sitting in my living room watching the three trilogy, throwing in the VHS, this VHS that I'm holding in my hand. Not the exact one, but this. Yeah. Anyways, and watching it over and over again. I remember when The Phantom Menace came out. I remember watching it over and over again. I remember loving Darth Maul. I remember when the trailer for Attack of the Clones came out. I remember watching the scene where Obi-Wan is fighting Boba Jango Fett on Kamino, and he drops his lightsaber, and I was like really worried because Obi-Wan Kenobi lost his lightsaber, and I thought, oh no, I didn't think a Jedi could lose his lightsaber because I thought that highly of Jedi. And then, you know, and then I see the movie and I find out he gets the lightsaber back. But like Anakin Skywalker got his lightsaber broken or broke his lightsaber. It's like that was tragic to me. It was like a big deal. I remember the lovey-dovey stuff in Attack of the Clones being like a little boring, definitely very boring for me. But for the most part, I loved the action and I loved that movie. I loved watching it.
Jango Fett, all the clones, like the actual, like the beginning of the Clone Wars, and
yes,
and
it was just the coolest. Was it was coolest so thing, phenomenal. Just to see that. And I had no complaints or I was a child, but I had no problems with the story or the dialogue or any of it. I loved Phantom Menace. I loved pod racing. I loved watching Anakin fly in the N1 Naboo starfighter, which I also had a Lego set of, which was one of my favorite things. I remember when the Revenge of the Sith trailer came out. I was probably 9. It came out 2005. I was probably 8 or 9. I remember the trailer came out. I watched that trailer 100 times. I watched every frame of that trailer, skipping. I theorized every single scene. I was so excited. I read the novel. They released the novel before the movie came out. I read that book cover to cover. They left out the ending, the final fight. So I didn't know exactly what happened. And just for fact checkers out there, it was the young adult novel version. It wasn't the full size novel. It was like the young adult version. It had pictures from the movie in the middle of it that you could like open up and look at. I remember reading that book. I recently found out that they actually released the video game on PlayStation 2 for The Revenge of the Sith before the movie came out, so people could actually play the full game, which covered the whole story before the movie even came out, which is interesting. And there's like even stuff in the game that they didn't put in the movie, like there was a fight between Mace Windu and Anakin in Palpatine's chamber, throne room place, whatever. Anyways, they didn't put that in the movie, but rabbit trail. I remember this. I remember going to the theater to watch Revenge of the Sith. It was during the day. It was still light out. Walking in that theater and having the time of my life watching that opening fight scene in space. And then scene after scene, I went on a complete roller coaster ride. I remember how tragic it felt to see Anakin turn to the dark side and fight Obi-Wan Kenobi. I was 8 or 9 years old, and I still felt the weight of that. And him saying, telling Obi-Wan Kenobi that he hates him, saying, I hate you, and then getting cut up and burnt up, that was eerie to me. That was heartbreaking to me. And I even had a bad taste for Revenge of the Sith because of how dark that was, because I was so young. I didn't understand the full weight of it necessarily because, as it relates to like, this is the Darth Vader character that eventually becomes is redeemed in Return of the Jedi. Anyways, I remember all this before I was like 8 or 9 years old. I say all that because then 4 or 5 years later, I find out, the prequels are hated by like everyone. Like these are not liked. I go back and watch them, and I remember I still liked The Phantom Menace. I actually remember having issues with Attack of the Clones because I felt like, it's kind of boring. Oh, the action scenes aren't as exciting as I remember them being. And I just kind of like, it was like a reality check. I was like, okay, I think I understand why some people don't like this. I was like 14 or 15. But I still had a connection to that, and I didn't let it go. Revenge of the Sith was still incredible and amazing. I actually liked it more as I got older, and I grew to like it more. And now it's top, probably my second favorite Star Wars film. Revenge of the Sith. Anyways, now I'm in a weird place where it's like, I remember Star Wars before the prequels, but I was like 4 or 5. But I grew up with the prequels. I did grow up with the prequels. And so I'm in a weird place where it's like, I have a connection to both. And I understand why some people hate the prequels. I don't like that people hate the prequels, because I love the prequels. And I will defend the prequels. I get the problems that there are problems there. I understand that. But for the most part, I love the prequels. There's also problems with Return of the Jedi. But I still love Return of the Jedi. I think the third act is one of the best third acts in any film ever. It actually might be the best, one of my favorite third acts ever. And so I say all that just to make it clear that, well, actually, this is all piggybacking off of this segment that I created, that I had no intention of going on this complete childhood memory lane trip. This was supposed to be funny and silly, but anyways, went a little too serious and a little deep. I hope you all enjoyed that. I like Star Wars. All right. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. I have attachment to it. I still enjoy it as an adult, and that's okay. I enjoy it for even better reasons now because of the stories that are told. And yeah, I love the action. It's great. It's great stuff. Visually stunning and great characters. And like I said, good story about father and a son. And I'm a father who has a son. I'm trying to hold off as long as I can to show my oldest son the original trilogy, because I want the Empire Strikes Back, no, I am your father moment to, and no, people, it's not Luke, I am your father. It's no, I am your father. Stop getting it wrong. I want that to be understood and received from my son, because I don't have a memory of me watching Empire Strikes Back for the first time and really getting that. Or understanding why that's important. I want my son to. I think he's at that age. He's turning 5 in a couple months. I might do it for his 5th birthday. I am very much looking forward to that. That will be a great experience for me. And a great memory that I will cherish. And that hopefully my son will cherish until he's...
One memory I have of the original trilogy is... I remember being mind blown when I found out that Darth Sidious was... Palpatine. The Palpatine was Darth Sidious.
Ooh, wait, when did you find... Wait, like, so... When did you find that out? And how?
It would have been the third movie, right?
Second movie.
Because that's when it's revealed.
Well, oh, sorry. So, I... funny enough. So, just talking about memories. I don't know how long this has been. We'll just keep going. Not too much longer. Because I have a memory where we were watching Attack of the Clones with Dad... I'm sure you were there, and Dad actually pointed out and said, oh, that's Sidious because it's the same actor, or something like that. Pointed out, it's like, it's the same actor. It's like, they're not really trying to hide it. I don't know if he realized that, or he was just telling us that, or telling me that, but he pointed it out, and I was like, oh, okay, and then I understood. So I just have that memory of Dad explaining that.
I think I have that same memory. Nice. But I think I didn't actually understand it until...
It was towards the end of Attack of the Clones, when he's at his, I think it's called The Works. It's where he usually did a lot of his shady business, as Sidious. Yeah. He was meeting with Dooku, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, I like Star Wars.
Yeah. I have one last hot take before we close out.
Go for it.
You can't say much because we got to close out right after. Well,
I'm sorry. I wish you would have picked a different number, because I wouldn't have gone on so long.
This is an actual hot take that I actually stand by, unlike The Force Awakens one, which I agree with you.
I know what it's going to be. I'm going to fight you on it.
The Force Awakens is a terrible movie. I take it back. But this I stand by because I recently watched it to confirm my suspicions. Uh-oh. But Solo: A Star Wars Story is a phenomenal movie.
Phenomenal?
Yes, a phenomenal movie. It's a good story. It's well put together. I think it's a great movie.
All right, all right, all right.
That being said, thank you guys for listening.
Can't leave me with
thank
us.
Thank you for your support. You can't leave me like thank that. You for your support. And yeah, if you want to support us even more, you can head over to our Patreon and listen to our mini reviews, and they're connected directly to our movie reviews, which has Stan Lee cameos and end credit scenes and all that. So yeah, we appreciate your support, and we look forward to next week.
Yes, thank you all. Bye.